Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kylie Camps, and welcome to the podcast. This space is dedicated entirely to making a difference in the lives of women. I believe we all have a right and a responsibility to truly live our best lives. It all begins with curiosity, changing our thinking, and cultivating more self-love. Through thoughtful conversations and shared experiences, I really hope that you can take something away from this podcast. I'm a business owner, a speaker, a sleep consultant, and mum of twin boys. I've also recently completed some training in the cognitive behavioral therapy space, and I'm super, super passionate about the ability that we all have to really improve our days. And ultimately, when we take ownership of improving our days, we're really improving our whole life. So let's get stuck into today's episode.
Welcome to my mom's podcast. She will talk about it now.
Today's podcast is a conversation with Lauren Murphy from The Style Files. Lauren is a qualified stylist who works in editorial fashion style and also is the resident stylist at Robina Town Centre and Logan Hyperdome. Lauren has worked with a variety of clients from 11-year-olds right through to 80-year-old grandmothers. She has a massive passion for helping people to unlock their own personal style, and I really enjoyed my conversation with Lauren. We talk about the importance of editing your wardrobe, refining exactly the type of style that's going to work for your own lifestyle. We talk about throwing out the old fashion rules and how to create a wardrobe that you love. I hope you enjoy this lighthearted episode with the wonderful Lauren from The Style Files.
Lauren, thank you so much for taking time out of your lockdown to have this conversation with me. I would love to start with why you are so passionate about style and why does what we wear matter?
Hi, Kylie. How are you? Thank you for having me today. I guess, do you know what? I'm going to throw it all the way back to when I was a kid. I guess I was, I've always been quite passionate about fashion. And the thing to me is that it's so much more than our clothing. I was always a very anxious child / teenager, especially. And I started noting that, you know, I used to always have this fear of entering busy places, or, you know, if we'd pull up at a party as a teenager, I used to hide in the car and I'd work myself up and spend like so long with friends coming to the car, like, come on, Lauren, come in the party. And I work myself up. And I started noticing when I finally got in there, you know, it was almost like a decoy. Instead of people delving into, hi, how are you? Tell me a bit about yourself type thing. It was like, oh, I love your hat. Where'd you get that from? And although, it may sound superficial to some, it's like we put on our armor. It's like a confidence costume, you know, how superheroes wear capes. Or there's so much more. You know, clothing has such a correlation with psychology, and the clothes we wear really affect our behavior, our mood, our confidence, the way we interact with other people. And, you know, having studied personal styling and editorial styling, I'm so passionate now that I get to go on to help other individuals tap into their personal style, find, you know, what it is that lights them up when they get dressed of a morning. Who do they want to transform into? What sort of, you know, what mood, what... Oh, are you there?
I'm here. What sort of message they want to send to the world?
Who do you want to show up as today? I mean, it's one of the first things we do in the morning, right? We all have our routines, but we all know the type of mood we can get in when we enter our wardrobe and go, oh, my God, like, there's nothing to wear. Yet there's a million clothes.
I was just saying, I think everyone can relate to that feeling of putting on, as you said, your armor and feeling so much more confident just because of what you're wearing.
Exactly. And, you know, fashion's copped it a lot over the years for being something that is only, you know, on the outer. It's not, you know, how they say beauty skin deep and that type thing. But, you know, I've noticed through many of my personal styling clients, it means a lot more to them, and it really does affect their day-to-day life. I've had a lot of women, you know, even in their 50s, still going back to their childhood and saying, oh, my mum said that, I don't shop in there because mum always said, you know, I was too big for that store, or, you know, I'm too old to go in there. And they're really like, you're already limiting yourself and putting barriers up and rules. The first thing that I always tell my clients when it comes to fashion is there are no rules. Create your own rules. Who do you want to be? What makes you feel good? You know, we talk a lot about dressing for our assets and the most flattering outfit, but sometimes you've just got to say, you know, what makes you feel fabulous?
Less about the rules and what is the feeling. And I think one of the things with fashion is, yes, for some people it is a total non-issue. They don't consider it. They're not interested in it. It's just not their bag, and that's totally fine. But for other people, fashion and the way they dress is a form of creativity and expressing a certain side of themselves, and it can be really, really fun. So I love that you've already hit on the fact that it's not necessarily about, you know, following fashion rules and you have to dress like this in order to flatter your body shape. It's more about how do you actually want to show up?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I deal with personal styling clients, but also there's a lot when it comes to personal branding. So when we have a business, or, you know, you might be a small business owner, you put a lot of money and effort and time into building a website, creating the perfect logo that really, you know, expresses your brand. But you might walk into a meeting, what are you wearing? Like, who is your audience? How do you want them to look at you? You know, you are your brand. So, you know, physically, like, it's a visual symbol of your
brand.
It's representation. And, you know, it's a proven statistic that within 1/10 of a second, people start to form their opinion on someone. And although that opinion may very well, probably more than likely, be incorrect, like, it's very judgmental of us, but it's a scientific fact that within 1/10 of a second, we've started creating an opinion on someone, and that is based on their visual representation. So therefore, it's your clothing, it's the way you wear your hair, your accessories. So it's a pretty big thing that, you know, you can literally walk by someone, they're already judging you, and that is on your outer.
No pressure.
But, you know, there's even psychology that goes into colors you're wearing. So, you know, I'm not sure if you've ever heard this before, Kylie, but colors have meanings when you wear them. So, like, if you blue, for example, is a very trusting, approachable, sort of tranquil color. So perhaps if you were maybe presenting at a workshop to women that you really want to make them feel comfortable and trust you, blue, you know, that's a color. Apparently wearing pink for salesmen is quite popular because it shows that the man is confident enough to wear a feminine color. So they're confident in themselves. You know,
so red much underlying psychology.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's subconscious, but another term actually that sort of proves that psychology and fashion is very well intertwined is enclosed. It's called enclosed cognition. Have you heard of that before?
I have, but only because I have done a podcast in the past on clearing out your wardrobe, and I found it really interesting when I started to dig into the link between confidence and how we dress and how it actually does change how we think and respond in situations.
Yeah, exactly. So I watched a video. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's the lab coat video.
I don't know that one.
They basically just have, I think it's, it might just be a simple quiz or something, but they get all these individuals from different walks of life.
Oh, I do know the one you're referring to. I do.
Yes. So they put on a white lab coat on some of them and then not on the others. And every time it's the ones who are wearing the white lab coat who perform better, because you've got that association with intelligence and scientific thinking. Simply slipping on your piece of clothing.
That's why uniforms can be so important.
Yeah, which is why, like, I go into someone's wardrobe. So I conduct wardrobe edits or wardrobe cleanses, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, I always sit with a client first and have a style consultation. Basically, that's where I delve into their lifestyle, what they consider their assets or what they're uncomfortable with, what they are comfortable with, talking about what's in their wardrobe, colours they love, styles they do and don't, what type of fabrics they're not comfortable with, that type of thing.
So these are all questions you would ask. So if a woman came to you, Lauren, and said, I've just gone through a massive life change, whether they've had a baby or maybe they've just hit an age milestone that feels big for them, or whatever it is, but they've come to you and they've said, Lauren, I have no clue what my personal style is. So these are the questions that you would start to ask them to help them sort of develop a sense of the direction of their style or a sense of style.
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, I would conduct a one-on-one style consultation. And the main thing that I can do is listen and really hear them and take on board what they're saying. It has absolutely nothing to do with my opinion, my taste in fashion, what's trending. You really want to hear the client because, as I mentioned before, they start coming out with stuff from their childhood, like heaps of things start unraveling. And the goal of this style consultation is to delve into their personal style, their desired style. So tapping into what their style categories are. But once I go through a list of questions, like, for example, I may ask, you know, Monday to Friday, what are you doing? Or what do you do for, do you do hobbies? Where do you work? That type of thing. Because I'm not going to go out and shop for stilettos if I'm dealing with a client who, you know, goes hiking. Yep, works on a farm, hikes on weekends, doesn't go anywhere, you know, or has an ankle injury. So you've really got to get to know the client before you go on go shopping. So, so then comes, after I go through the list of questions and really listen to the client, I then go through identifying their style categories. And the way I do this is I actually have images of individuals in outfits. And on a piece of paper for the client, numerous different style categories. So there may be masculine, feminine, quirky, sexy, classic, timeless, different words like that. So they go through each image and mark next to what words they like about the outfits. So I think there's about 20 outfits or so. Basically, it's like a tally. And at the end, like the top three categories are typically what their styles are. So then I use
that to reflect.
Hey?
I said, have fun.
Yeah, I need to do yours for sure.
Definitely. What
do you think? The funny thing is I always ask the clients first, like, do you think you know what you are? And a lot of them actually, you know, they get kind of surprised at the end. And then I go, okay, stand up, show me what you're wearing. Because it is very, very easy. Like, it happens all the time. You can get masculine and feminine in one. So for example, I might have a little checkered baby doll dress on but have black combat boots. So right there, you've sort of got a masculine piece and a feminine piece. So a lot of women are like, oh, I don't think I'm this and that. And then I get them to stand up and I go from head to toe and I go, well, look, there you go. You've got this piece, here's that, that, that. And they're always like, oh, yeah, I am.
But the different elements.
Yeah, the point of doing this is to then, once we've collated all the information about their lifestyle, what they do and don't like, desired outcome of going shopping or whatnot, add to that their style categories. Does their wardrobe actually reflect their style? So that's where we then go into the wardrobe and go, okay, how come you got this item? Like, I'll give you an example. The other week I had a client and I was in her wardrobe. And majority, like I'm talking 95% of her wardrobe was jeans and long sleeve button-up shirts with collars and then some knitwear. She works in a very heavy male industry, like a male heavy industry, sorry, and she likes to go to work wearing that, which is great. Then I'd pluck out like a random flowy pastel maxi dress, almost a gown, and I'm like, what's this? This does not, like, what is that? This is just not your style. It doesn't reflect what your desired style is. She said, oh, I bought that because I thought I should be more feminine. Like, this is when I wanted
the classic should
more girly. And I said, look, I get what you're saying there, but you don't have to. That's not the only way to be feminine, is to go and find the most pink, florally, floaty dress.
Extreme version of it.
Yeah. So then I might say, look, let's work within your style and tweak it. So, you know, a softer neckline on the blouses you're buying, or, you know, tucking your top in instead of having it undone, or, you know, changing your accessories around, things like that. But the end goal is to have people have their wardrobes reflecting their style, shopping smarter, so the pieces in the wardrobe, when you get up and go to your wardrobe, you know, it's an easy grab. You actually like what you're looking at. Because statistically, the average Australian woman wears one third of their wardrobe, and they wear that one third 80% of the time. So
I think every woman is nodding along right now, like, yep.
Yeah. So it's the old, I've got nothing to wear, but I'm looking at all this, but I've still got nothing to wear. So what we want to do is cull your wardrobe, declutter it. You want to purchase things within your style. You want to make smart purchases and, you know, have it organized in a way that you're not wasting time. I mean, time is money. We're in a busy world now.
Also not wasting money as well. I think a lot of people can relate to buying those items, as you said, because they think, oh, I should have this, I should have that, or, you know, they desire being a certain way, so they purchase something that reflects it, but it doesn't actually line up with the reality of their life. I think it's such a service to ourselves to go into our wardrobes and do that edit, do that cull, so that when you are getting dressed of a morning, you know that you're walking into a space or you're standing in front of a space that actually is going to light you up rather than make you feel poorly. And so I imagine for a lot of women, they've got clothes hanging in their wardrobe that they've not touched, they've not worn in over 6 months.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I've got statistics coming out of my ears when it comes to fashion and landfill and waste, like 23 kilos a year the average person throws away in clothing. Wow. Like just throwing it, which I mean, like sustainability nowadays, I'm so passionate about that as well. So when I have that loops in with my clients, you know, making them feel amazing and confident and the best versions of themselves, it's also about, like, you know, doing your bit in sustainability. And, you know, with social media nowadays, a lot of the fast fashion houses, because there's what's it called, like fashion hauls and style reels and all that, a lot of people are getting sent a lot of fashion items and never wearing them. They're just making reels and whatnot and just throwing them out. So it's actually contributing to even more waste.
Consumerism is so extreme right now. And as you said, social media definitely plays a part in that.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I have some, little ideas to sort of try and reduce your footprint, I guess, in that 23 kilos of waste a year. Firstly, it's about, sitting down, taking the time to, before you enter the shops, making your vision very clear, what you're going there for. I put a post on Instagram a few months ago. It was like, which shopper are you? And I don't have it in front of me right now, but, I think there was, I forget the names I called them, but you're either the shopper that goes in there and, it's like a last minute Larry, and you go in and you got the event the next day. So you just grab the outfit off the mannequin, or you're the person that only buys things on sale, but you don't really need them, or the person that has items still in your cupboard with tags on them. Like, we all have a different consumer habit. We've just got to try and be a little bit more conscious of that. So we need to shop smarter. So firstly, we need to have the vision of why we're going to shops in the first place. Questions to ask yourself simply, is it in my budget? Where will I wear this? Sorry. Do I already own items similar to this? Like, the amount of people that say, I need a white shirt, and then when I see their wardrobe, they've got like 70 white shirts. I'm like, you do not need another white shirt.
Oh my gosh, I'm so guilty of this with denim shorts, Lauren. I've got denim shorts for freaking miles.
Oh my God. My rule is one in, one out.
Yes, so I do that as well.
Add another until you get rid of some.
I have two rules that I kind of live by when it comes to shopping, and that is one in, one out, like whether it's I'm giving it to a girlfriend, or I'm donating it, or I'm selling it, which I think
perfect.
A lot of women should consider selling their clothes or setting up a swap group with their girlfriends or whatever. But I have that rule. And then the other one is I think about cost per wear. So I will kind of do a bit of a mental calculation. Like, if something is $300 and I'm only going to wear it once, probably not worth it for me. But if it's $300 and I'm going to wear it 100 times that year, great. That's worth it for me. $3 per wear. Brilliant. Like, I kind of run things through my filter like that.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. Like that. Yeah. That's good that you're conscious of that, because they're definitely two of the questions that I say to ask yourself. Does it reflect your style? Does it suit your body shape? Do I have too many items that are similar? And then also, what can I wear it with? Because so many people have beautiful items in their wardrobe and they don't know how to wear them, or, they've bought this random beautiful sequined pink and orange top, but they're like, I don't own a single thing to match it with. And then it ends up sitting there and wastes away anyway. And so many people say, oh no, it cost me this much money, I don't want to get rid of it. And I just simply say back, well, what good is it doing collecting dust in your wardrobe? It's literally just wasting away.
Yeah, there's and more than one way to be a waste.
Yeah, but I agree with you on the setting up fashion swaps amongst friends, and also, looking at Women's Refuge and charities like that. That I know that there's some domestic violence shelters on the Gold Coast where I'm located, that I often send my clothes because, it's last minute fleeing, so they don't actually often have clothing with them. There's a couple of cool charities as well for women that have come out of prison that are looking like they're going for job interviews.
Job interviews, yeah.
Yeah, because not many people pass on corporate wear. I don't know. Obviously a lot of people throw things. So that's kind of a cool one as well, helping someone to try and rehabilitate their life. They're out there going for an interview. So, and also just shopping ethical labels. Like, know where you're buying from, who's making it, where's it coming from. There are some really cool, brands in Australia and locally that are doing the right thing. So, I mean, we really want to put our money into those brands, don't we, rather than the big companies that are exploiting employees and whatnot.
Absolutely. Thinking about what you're getting for your money. And not just in terms of, I mean, it's amazing, of course, to be choosing businesses that are really ethical and you are on board with their ethos and their guidelines and their everything. But also just quality. You know, like it's one of those things that often when you're, and not always, but often when you're paying a lower fee, these are things that you put through the washing machine twice and they come out with holes in them.
I know. And look, we're all guilty of it going, oh, you know, this is so cheap, I'm just going to grab this. But yeah, how many times do we just say, oh, that didn't last very long, and you're out there buying it again? Like, do the maths.
Yeah, it loses shape and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, back to once you've helped someone identify their own style guide or personal brand, you send them into their wardrobe, you say, let's go through and see what you've got. Let's, you know, look at items that we're going to donate, items that we're going to bin that are maybe beyond salvaging.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Okay, so I'll take you through what I do when I go into someone's wardrobe. You just sort of summarized it, but I'll take you through the steps and then I'll go from there. So, yeah, people will invite me into their home. I'll sit through style consultation. We'll get their style categories sorted, head to their room. Now, we've got to have some time allocated. So, I mean, everyone's wardrobes are different sizes, but it's usually minimum 2 hours set aside, to be honest. Because we get our three piles ready. So I would say a keep pile. We have a maybe pile, which is usually what we go back to. It's normally they don't know what to wear it with, or they like it, but they're unsure. So we keep that right at the front. And then we've got a pile to either donate or to sell, because selling's still being sustainable. Sometimes you can sell it and then put that money back into another item. Then I get the client to try everything on. Now, it can sound a bit draining, but you have to try everything on, because the amount of people that say, oh, yeah, I like this, or it fits, but and then they put it on, it doesn't actually fit anymore, or they find a stain, or it's not in a good condition. So you must try everything on. Then the few questions we ask ourselves: do you love it? Do you have places to wear this? Do you have things that go with it? Do you own items like this, and is it in good condition? Then once they've tried everything on and either got them in all their piles, you then can shop your own wardrobe, is the term we kind of call it. And it is using those pieces in the maybe pile and what's still hanging there. And then I start creating outfits with what you already have in your wardrobe. So some people are really good at this and other people not so much. So they might just need a professional or a friend that does have a knack for it to help them out with this. Fresh eyes to see, you know, some fresh eyes come in and go, oh my God, this will look good with this. And you've looked at that same item forever and you just didn't see it worn that way. So we shop Absolutely. Out a wardrobe and create a heap of looks using your own items. Some people like to photograph this. I can make up, I do digital mood boards where we sort of create little outfits and how to style them. Sometimes it's just nice to have that inspiration there, like on your phone or whatnot, to flick through and remind you.
And do you know what, Lauren? Something that I think is so important with your service is it's just giving someone the permission to look that cute. Like sometimes people just need someone to say to them, no, you look amazing in that faux leather skirt and your husband's shirt. That looks incredible. Put your boots on and get out the door, because they might have tried it on their own but thought, oh, who am I? Who am I to wear this? And then they just slip back into their black tights and their active mum uniform and head out the door. And so I think that's just such a gift to have someone standing there and being like, no, babe, you've got these clothes and you look fucking amazing in them. Wear them. Like, don't save it for a special day. Just wear it today.
Oh, you are so right. The amount of times I've stood in someone's wardrobe with them and they're like, what do you think? Like, and I'll tell them what I think.
They're wanting permission.
But they say, what do you think? Should I? And it's lovely they're asking, but I say, and I'll just flip it straight back on them, check what their vibe is. And you know, people go, oh, I love how ruthless you are. Thank God. Oh, I'm glad you're honest. I'm like, of course I am. Like,
yes,
you know,
we so all sometimes need that style fairy godmother.
So on one hand, I can be the ruthless grandma that's like, get rid of it, throw it in the bin. And on the other hand, like you said, I'm there as a cheerleader almost. And because I have that I guess, qualification behind me and experience or whatnot as a stylist, they're taking what I'm saying more on board than perhaps what the voice in their head is saying. Even though it might be the same thing, they're like, okay, cool, Lauren thinks I should wear it. And, I mean, it's putting a lot of trust in me. Nobody needs my permission. But you're right. That's exactly what my clients do.
I think the permission factor, Lauren, but also just the circuit breaker of having someone come in and see you differently, because in life, in so many areas, in all the areas, often when people expect us to be a certain way, and that's our behavior, that's our mood, how we dress, when people expect us to be a certain way, there's kind of a predisposition that we have to show up in that way. So yes, having someone come through the door and be a circuit breaker and be like, no, you get to choose who you are, you get to choose how you dress, it's a real gift to someone that's feeling a bit stuck.
Yeah. And, you know, the amount of clients, it's one of the most popular things actually that comes out of a woman's mouth when I have a personal styling client is, I don't like my arms. And I'm talking all different shapes, sizes, ages. And, like, in my eyes, I'm thinking, geez, why not? Like, they're great arms. Like, so weird. But anyways, they say, I don't like my arms. And usually they don't even have a reason why. They say, oh, I don't know, I've just never liked them, I like to cover them. Then we might be an hour into our session, they're trying on things, revealing their arms, and I'm like, oh, are you okay to try it? Like, you feel comfortable with your arms out? And they're like, oh yeah. By the end of it, they're wearing a halter neck, no bra.
I was just gonna say, they're in a strapless.
Yeah, but it's crazy how quickly, like, it is. It's like a transformation, and you just see the confidence grow throughout a simple session of someone just, maybe all you need, a lot of people need is just that, yeah, a different voice come in and say, it's okay to wear that, or who told you this rule? Like, break it, kick down the door, wear what you want. Or, you know, and something I do go through when I do a style consultation is, if someone says, I don't wear, you know, I'll ask them if they have any fashion rules as such. And they might say, oh, look, I don't wear anything short. Now, my short could be very different to their short.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Have to then say, can you show me how short? Because what is short, you know? So we then get very clear on the different rulings. So I'm not out there going, oh, you can't try this on, it's too short, whereas their short's different, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. You have to really get very clear on what they're saying.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, like I mentioned, you know, things come back from their childhood, and I have a daughter myself now, and I just, after speaking to so many women, especially who I'm there for a personal styling session, who refer back to their mum or growing up and what they could and couldn't wear. And it's the way you speak to other females is just so important, the way it makes them feel, and that feeling to shake it, or, you know, we've just got to be so careful with our wording and allowing women to sort of express themselves how they want to and wear what they want to wear.
Definitely. And I think that's kind of something that makes me a bit excited for the next generation, because I know growing up, my mum definitely and her friends, and, you know, it's obviously just being a victim of circumstance, but, you know, they had a lot of rules, like, you know, redheads shouldn't wear pink and you shouldn't clash patterns and those sorts of things that I remember hearing as a young child. But I think now with social media, with so much more freedom and creativity in the way people dress, I think the next generation are going to be far less prone to falling victim to those sorts of fashion rules.
Yeah, you're right. And that is exciting, because
you know, self-expression and just even like a fit model. I worked in retail from 13 and a fit model was 8 to 10. You know, we're seeing so much inclusivity now, like everything's so inclusive, which is so good. It's really good for fashion.
Definitely. So you've got your client, you've shopped the wardrobe, you've helped them piece together some looks that they might not have put together themselves. What is next? Do you head to the shops then with a wish list, or where do you go?
Yeah, so I'll just wrapping up the wardrobe. Once we shop the wardrobe, I then when they try everything on, I get it, I leave everything out of the wardrobe. So then once we've sort of finished trying everything, done our piles, shopped our wardrobe, I then put every piece back in the wardrobe. Now some people are OCD and have their own exact way they like things. Most, I would say, at least 95% of my clients have allowed me to put things back where I would recommend. And this is just a personal preference. I like to put things not in color coordination, but I do it in lifestyle sections as such. So workwear, casual wear, going out, you know, active wear or whatnot. And the things that you wear the most, so if you work full time, you know, I put them at the most sort of at eye's reach, the easiest grab. Because what I've learned along the way with my clients is a lot of people have a set routine in order of which they get dressed and shower and whatnot. So some people take their outfit into the shower. Some people lay it out on their bed. I had a client who had a whole beautiful big set of drawers in her room, but it was empty because she didn't like to walk out there to get dressed because she thought neighbors could see in her window. So random little things like that. I need to place your most worn things or your most sort of what you're going to need the most. I just make it easy for yourself.
Like, yeah, reduce the resistance.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
But, yeah, if you're going to work, you got kids, you know, life's hard nowadays. Like, eliminate as much stress as possible. So, yeah, I always do it in order of lifestyle. And then there's crossover pieces. So I call those trans-seasonal pieces are the ones that you can wear throughout every season, usually layering them. And then crossover pieces are sort of, I like to break down the rules around, say, corporate wear being just corporate wear. I like to mix it in with, you know, your weekend wear as such. So I try and arrange it that the crossover pieces then sort of blend into the next lifestyle section as such. And I always pack away out of season items, like get them out of the way, because you'll be surprised how many people just have fur coats sitting at the front of their wardrobe when we're in summer in Queensland. So out of sight, out of mind. Another rule that I actually have is if you didn't wear it last summer, we're now in summer and there's going to be so many more beautiful things come out, like if you've missed a whole season of wearing it, get rid of it.
Yes, I'm so here for that. I'm very much like, if you've not touched it in 6 months, you probably won't touch it in another 6 months. Like, let it go.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're not, it's something that's like, you're not going to miss it.
Yeah, and but that's where that one in, one out rule helps.
Exactly. Yeah. It's also amazing, like, sentimental value that pieces of clothing have as well. So I'm very mindful not to be like, oh, what's this, throw this out, and it's, you know, something
she wore.
Yeah, of course. I had a client that had like 16 bridesmaids dresses just perched up in a wardrobe. I was like, oh my gosh, what are these?
Wow.
I can't get rid of those. They're my bridesmaid. I've been a bridesmaid. I was like, okay, do we have another space for them perhaps? Like, because every day you're getting up and you're like, I've got nothing to wear. Well, you don't need to look at those because you're not wearing your bridesmaid dress to the grocery store. So although, you know, some things may seem, you know, like common sense, but we all do silly, weird little things that make our life a bit harder. So, yeah, just that's probably where I'm at with organizing your wardrobe as such. Then what we do is we go shopping. So actually after the wardrobe is done, I then, as we do it, I sort of fill in notes as well of items that we start to, we realize we're missing. So it's wardrobe gaps. And then also looking back at the initial style consultation, you sort of pair it all together and then go, all right, well, this is what we're looking at, what we need. Some people, I finish a wardrobe consultation and it's still, you know, pretty full wardrobe, but some people it is dead empty, like really empty. And I say, yeah, just stay calm. Imagine. We're going shopping. It's okay. Like, don't worry. And then you fill in the gaps, basically. So we go to the shops with literally a shopping list. So we stay on track. It's so easy to get distracted by pretty things, right? So we stay very well. Like, I take all my notes with me, and usually I do the shop. I would never do it on the same day, because a wardrobe cleanse and having your style consultation and whatnot, like I said, it might be around 3 hours or so.
That's the client's
getting dressed. It's pretty tiring.
Lie down after that.
Yeah. So the clients, I tend to try and book it in within a week of the wardrobe cleanse. So then we go and try and fill the gaps.
Fun. I love the method to this. I think it's so cool to hear the behind the scenes of how you actually create a wardrobe that is going to be wearable. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. At the end of the day, as a stylist, I would not have done my job right if the client went and bought items and they didn't wear them, if they just sat in their wardrobe. The key is to arm the client with the tools to shop for them and in line with their style, and like you said, you know, value per wear type stuff, and to sort of arm the client with the tools to not dread to go to the shops. Like, a lot of people really strongly dislike shopping, but generally those people aren't going in with the right vision, you know. They sort of go in without a vision. Or yeah. And, you know, I remember as a kid, I used to go to Pacific Fair. I was a local Gold Coast girl and would play netball, and Mum would say, we'll go to Pacific Fair. And I'm like, yes, we're going to Pac Fair. So excited. And if I left there empty handed, now, I wasn't spoiled at all. I never asked for things, but if I had something in my mind that I needed or I really wanted to buy at the shops, if I left empty-handed, the mood, whew, like I was devastated.
Devastated, yeah.
But how's the skip out when you have a hot outfit? You're like, ew, where are we going? You just start creating an event just so you can wear your outfit. But again, absolutely. It's like it changes your mood, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. Now, I have a couple of questions that will help us sort of get into some of the nitty gritty of shopping. Now, these are questions that have come through via Instagram. So okay. I thought perhaps we could run through these kind of rapid fire style, okay. But see what you come up with.
Okay, I'll do my best. I hope
I'm You're amazing. Okay. The first question, it's a question that came through Instagram, is to do with skinny jeans. And the question was along the lines of, are skinny jeans really only for outdated people now? Because a while ago there was that whole thing where the millennials were like, you know, getting burnt for wearing skinny jeans.
Oh, that's a cool
and question. Side part as statement. Well.
What did you say? Sorry?
It was side parts and skinny jeans.
Oh, yes, side parts. Oh, my God, yes, I did see that. I'm a middle part voter.
Oh, look at you go.
What do you do?
I have a cow's lick. My hair will only hang out in a side situation. I've tried to do the middle part.
Yeah.
I can train it. I can put bobby pins in it, but I've kind of just gone back to letting it hang out on the side. So I might whack a pair of skinny jeans on and call it a day.
Call it a day. You know what? Every time I get my hair done, the hairdresser's always like, so where's your part? I'm like,
dead center, bitch.
I feel like I just off center, wobbly cow length, just let it drop. Okay, so skinny jeans. Oh, my God. So as I said at the beginning, I do not follow rules. When it comes to fashion, I make my own rules. So I do believe, like, the trends currently out, what's on trend is definitely bootleg, baggier jean, cropped jean. But I think skinny jeans, you really do need to have one pair in your wardrobe as well, because depending on what you're wearing up top, like I love a fitted skinny jean underneath something more sort of relaxed up top, even like a big thick knit, you know, it sort of balances the look. So I say never to anything. I'm the type of person that wears like flares two seasons before they even come out. I used to wear red berets to parties in high school. Like I'm kind of off trend a lot. So you're asking probably the wrong person, but they're not typically on trend at the moment. But depending what you wear it with, I like to wear things that are old.
And also
with
how you feel in them.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you ask yourself, do you have something to wear with them? Do you have somewhere to go with it? Do you feel comfortable? Does it? Yeah, does it suit your body shape, and how the hell do you feel in them?
So good. Again, this is one where we've kind of spoken a little bit about old fashioned rules, but the question that came in is, what colors are best for pale skin tones?
Oh, that's hard actually, because it also, I would say, depends on your hair color, your eye color. I'd probably have to see you in person, but I mean, yellow is hard for anyone, so probably stay clear of yellow. But you know, you can still go the classic looks, but perhaps instead of black, you go navy, or you look at chocolate brown, sort of the brown tones for paler skin. That's what I'd do.
What are your three must-have staple items? I'm going to take a swing, yeah. Lauren, at what you're going to say.
Oh, are you going to
guess? I'm going to guess, and you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Three's hard, though. That's like choosing a favorite kid, but okay.
Okay. Well, the three that I think you would say based off knowing you just a little bit, I would say denim shorts are one.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Maybe a blazer and a white T-shirt.
Oof. Okay.
Oof.
I reckon you've got one out of that, or kind of two, kind of. Well,
I had the
even almost three. No, okay. I'm going to tell you why. Well, okay. Firstly, it is going to be dependent on your climate. Like, I know that we're both, you know, Northern Rivers, Gold Coast kind of girls, but it's going to depend on obviously your climate and where you live. Also your lifestyle, like whether you're a full blown.
Oh yeah. I was thinking sleeper. Just for you. You
oh,
personally.
Sorry. Is this my personal
yours?
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I thought I was giving advice on like the three staple pieces someone needs to have. Okay. All right. I'm going to give mine then. All right. If I was, see, this probably is ever changing as well, but I'm going to say white sneakers.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
Like a slimline kind of a white sneaker. Because being in so many people's wardrobes and going shopping, I feel like that's a gap that I always say get a white sneaker. They seem to go with everything. Then I would say you've got to have like a black midi dress. So that could be flexible with workwear, throwing a blazer over, or going out wear with girls, throwing heels on. Or more casual, put your white sneakers and a denim jacket over. So a black midi dress. And then, yeah, it'll have to be like a white top. But I would say like a collared button-up. So it's kind of an in-betweener of if you did have to wear it to work, or you could wear it with jeans or whatnot. But if I was
really
going
versatile.
To get, yeah, you got to look for classic versatile pieces that can match in. You want to create as many outfits as possible with the least amount of items. So it's kind of like a capsule wardrobe. But if I was going to list off a few for other people as well, I like to tell my clients to have like a Sunday best. It's almost like a maxi, or, you know, just a fun dress where you don't have to worry about if you're eating a lot, or it's got to be comfy. But something, you know, if you're invited to a Christmas party, you're like, okay, I'm going to wear my fun floral maxi dress. That's a safe winner. Like, so to have like your Sunday best dress. Definitely a well-fitted pair of jeans, but seasonally change it to denim shorts or denim skirt, just a denim bottom half, I guess, that fits well, because you can wear that over and over and over. And I would also say a suit. So I guess the blazer comes into that. A suit, because you can wear it together, separate. If you've seen, you know, my style, my Instagram, I love blazers They're especially good for Zoom calls, corporate shots, and they're a piece that I like to mix with casual stuff as well. So a suit, but think outside the box of don't just associate suit with corporate. Break the pieces up and mix them with more casual stuff. So again, you're going to get more wears out of the items. And yeah, keep your plain tees, white, black. If you're not a black or white person, look at grey, navy, neutral.
Yeah. And just speaking on the t-shirt topic, Lauren, one of the questions that came through was, do you have a recommendation for a great plain white t-shirt that is not see-through?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I do. And I hope you like it. Do you know the brand Unico? Have you ever heard of them, Kylie?
Unico, or is it Uniqlo?
I say Unico. It's I think it's a Japanese brand, but we have
at
stores
PAX in Australia. Fair.
Yeah. It's a red logo with the white. Unico. I thought I don't know, but I'll look it up after I get off the phone.
I'm looking it up now as we speak.
I can't look anything up. Yeah. I'm not on the internet.
Yeah, it is. Sorry. An L in it. So Uniqlo. Uniqlo. Yeah, I've bought a jacket from there before.
Yeah, so I have a white tee and it's a more fitted style and it's really good, like a nice, thick, non-see-through, because people do go through the white shirts a lot. A lot of my clients do go the cheaper option and they're very thin and go out of shape. These shirts they're not expensive, mind you. It's probably like $15. Like, they're cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say Uniqlo's really affordable.
Yeah. And then when it comes to, I shop in the men's section of Uniqlo for my black shirt because I get a bigger fit for that. And it's enough for me to, I think I get the men's extra small and then I tuck it in. So I really like that brand because they've got so many basics out. And again, you can shop women's or men's.
And you can shop online for those listening who can't just duck down to PAX Fair.
Yeah, sorry, look it up online. I can't believe I was saying it wrong. You know me.
No, I only know it because I've bought a sports jacket from there and it was like a really, I felt like it was like this random find of a store. Like, it's not a shop that I would normally walk into. But when I walked in, I was like, oh my gosh, they've got some really cool things.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a newcomer to it as well, but I'll definitely continue to go there for plain tees and whatnot. And that just proves how much of a visual person I am. I'm like describing the logo, but I can't even say the name of the brand.
Yes. Oh, I am exactly the same, Lauren. I see things like I have like a photographic. So as soon as you said, oh, it's a red logo, that was like, no, I'm sure it's spelt like this because
I see it.
Yeah, totally, girlfriend. Other questions that have come through, styling tips for short and curvy body types and also for flattering a larger bust.
Okay, so I might break that down into two. So firstly, it was a shorter body, was it?
Short and curvy body type was the way they worded it.
Yeah. I mean, again, it depends what they do and don't want to accentuate. Some people, you know, this client or this question, they're not saying it's a negative. They're not saying they love it. So I don't know whether they want to accentuate the curves or hide them. Who knows? But just in general, I would say look at a cropped pant or jean. So you're showing your ankle. It sort of gives an illusion of elongating the leg rather than having a full length jean and also a higher waist on it. So it's, again, it's all about illusion and illusion dressing. So wherever hemlines finish or belts or jewelry, that's where the eye will go. So if I was curvier and smaller, I would probably wear a higher waisted pant and draw it in with a belt so the eye is lifted higher and show ankle. And then for a bigger bust, again, depends if you want to show the bigger bust or you want to hide it. It's kind of twofold, but again, it's where the eyes will go where something's accentuating it. So if you wanted to show off a bigger bust, you have your neck, maybe perhaps put a necklace on and the necklace right where the bust is. That's if you want the eyes to go there. If you want to hide a bigger bust, I would say do an A-line shape or like a one shoulder. So it's sort of the eyes are going to one side, not just straight at your bust, if that makes sense. Just start looking at different necklines where you want the eyes to go. It just depends.
I think they're great tips. And particularly with what you mentioned about it really depends what you want to achieve, because saying flattering a larger bust, that exactly it could mean drawing attention to it and lifting it and really making your bust a focal area, or it could mean that you want to draw attention away from that area. So it just depends, I guess, which is hard with Instagram because you can't always get the full context of the question.
But if they were my client, the difference between a good stylist and a great stylist would be never assume. So I can't assume that they don't like their big bust, or I can't assume that they love it. Like, you have to ask questions and be very curious about the client you're dressing, just so you're 100% on the same page.
Definitely. Another question that came through a few times was about tips for dressing for your age. And yep. I've noted here two of the questions that came through. One was the woman said she was 33, and the other one, the woman said she was 32. So tips for dressing for your age, I guess, in your 30s.
Yeah, right. I love this question. And I think about it all the time, actually, because I'm turning 36 this year. And in my eyes and perhaps society's eyes, I think I dress kind of young for my age. And I don't know if I do or not. I don't really care, but that's what I believe. And I assume it's from society's perception. I'm not sure. But I would always say, you know, age is however old you feel. And there's no rules, again, around dressing a certain age or a certain way, based on your age. But I think it's a very transformative age, I guess. They've probably turned 30, maybe perhaps had children or whatnot. It's an age, I think, where we probably start getting that middle age spread, right? Starts the tummy area.
Something goes south. Something goes out.
Yeah. I mean, for some, not others. But sorry, what was the question? It was how to dress for your age, or?
Yeah, tips for dressing for your age.
Tips for dressing for your age. Look, I think it just always comes back to what makes you feel good, or who's your audience? Like, maybe they might be a 30.
Who's your audience? I love that.
Well, you know, they might be a teacher teaching teenage boys. It really depends who you want to impress. If you're all about you, well, then stuff everyone else, shop where you want, when you want. And something else I've found with clients is, I don't shop in there because I'm too old. I think I mentioned that earlier. That I've taken a lot of women into Chic lately. Do you know the store Chic?
I do.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, I could be wrong here, but I guess it has a bit of a younger sort of demographic attached to it. I'm not sure. But a lot of clients say, oh, I've never gone in there. You know, I thought maybe it was a bit too young for me. And I said, no, try. So I think just keeping an open mind with not labeling stores or brands as too young or too old. And my tips would be mixing and matching pieces. Like, you may have a more conservative top half and then switch it up with a more playful, youthful bottom half. Or a rule of thumb tip that seems to work, the way I sort of work my styling, is I have a lot of very classic, timeless pieces, and I sort of edge it up with the accessories that are trending. So instead of following clothing trends, I follow for my body and what makes me feel good. And then I use the accessories, so hats, sunnies, even makeup, the way we do our hair, footwear, bags. We must remember all of those type of things when it comes to styling as well. So maybe these people that ask the question, again, I'm assuming, but let's just take a random guess and say, oh, look, maybe they think they're dressing a bit young for their age, or they don't. Yeah, let's just say they think they might be dressing a bit young. Just have a look, break your outfit up. Start at head and go all the way down to toe and just break it all up into pieces and say, oh, you know, it might just be the choice of shoe you're wearing. Why don't you go and pick a different type of shoe? Or does that make sense? I don't know.
It makes total sense. And I think it's just as important to kind of think about what fashion rules you're holding on to and start to dissolve those and really look at them, because I think that we're all kind of being, you know, presenting and also feeling younger than past generations. Like if we think of our parents,
true,
a lot of them presented differently in their 30s to how we're presenting, and in their 40s and 50s and beyond. And nowadays it's so much more common that women in their 30s and 40s and 50s are still shopping in places that women in their 20s are shopping. So maybe just dissolving those fashion rules. And I know I've had the experience where people have said to me, oh, where did you get that blazer from? And I've said, oh, I picked it up in Dottie of all places. And they've gone, oh my God, I haven't walked into Dottie in years.
Yeah.
And it's just because in their mind they've gone, oh, I'm past that point. So yep, they don't even entertain entering the yep store. And I think it's, yeah, just dissolving some of those fashion rules.
Yeah, exactly. Dissolving the rules, keeping an open mind. And once you find brands that work for you, like, stick with them. Having a handful of brands or styles that are your go-to is perfect. Just do a bit of research, try some things on, and find what works for you, and then tweak it. You know, if you're feeling like, oh God, I look a bit old in this, well, can you undo a button, or can you just put a more youthful pair of shoes on, or why don't you put your bag across your body like a satchel or something? Just little tips and tricks like that can change, I guess, yeah, the age of what
the
you look
whole at. Overall.
Yeah. Like a bright pink lipstick. You know, imagine having that on and then not having it on. I feel like it would change things a lot, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Even right down to the color of your nails and chunky jewelry yep versus fine jewelry and everything like that.
Yeah, for sure. And something I learned about when I studied all my styling stuff was structure and flow. So, you know, an example of a very structured look would be hair slick back in a bun, maybe a dark red lipstick on. You've got perhaps a black suit with a blouse underneath buttoned up with a pump point toe shoe on. But then, okay, I don't want to come across too intimidating or too structured. Let's loosen it up. You can simply wear the same outfit, but pull your hair out, wipe the lippy off, and add like a lighter neutral color, change the shoe to an open toe, unbutton some buttons on your blouse, and voila, it's, you're giving off a whole nother portrayal of image. You know, you've added some flow into it and it's softened the look, yet you're wearing the exact same outfit.
Yeah, just wearing it differently.
Yeah.
Amazing. Lauren, you have been so helpful, and I feel like we could talk for hours and hours on this topic. Yeah. But I'm so grateful for your time. Where can our listeners connect with you?
I guess best place is probably over at my Instagram, which is at thestylefiles.aus. So the Style Files is the name of my styling business I created 6 years ago. Or I also have a website which has some more info on personal styling services, editorial styling I do also, and a bit about me. And that's www.thestylefilesaus.com.
Amazing. I will have those details in the show notes. And do you offer online consultations? Because I feel like a lot of women are going to ask.
I do. So I think it was when COVID initially hit, shall we say.
Yes, the gift of the pivot.
Yeah. So that quickly got added to my list of services. So, yeah, virtual styling, it would be a case of either via phone or Zoom or whatnot, doing a style consultation that way. Emailing off questions and what back and forth. And then, yeah, I can do online shopping, researching, sending you links, putting together digital mood boards, whatever. I just love Amazing. People asking questions and flicking back. Like I always say to my clients, feel free to like continue messaging me after we're done months on, like send me a photo of what you're going to wear. And I love it.
So cool. It's been so fun to speak with you, and it's definitely provided some food for thought on my own wardrobe, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are feeling the same. So thank you for sharing your passion and your knowledge with us today, Lauren.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored that I'm on here.
Of course. We might have to make it a regular feature.
Yes, please.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.